going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today.
And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Joining us now here on WEEI Afternoons live from the NFL Draft is indeed Patriots first round pick number 4 overall left tackle Will Campbell. Joining me, Andy Hart, alongside former Patriots linebacker Ted Johnson and Nick Fitzy-Stevens. How are we doing today, Will?
I'm doing good. How about y'all? I appreciate y'all having me on.
Well, we appreciate you joining us. We listened in a little bit to your press conference on the field at Gillette Stadium, and we were talking about how comfortable you seem doing these interviews and these media sessions, and you seem to hit a home run with every answer, the right tone, the right words. Has that just always come naturally? Do you feel like that's just part of your makeup? What do you attribute that to?
Yeah, honestly, to be honest with you, it just came naturally to me. Just try to stay calm in any answer. Give the best answer I possibly can, not give too much, but give enough.
Hey, Will, congratulations on becoming an NFL football player. I'm just curious, you know, you're an emotional guy, and I just, you know, it was fun to hear you talk about being drafted by the Patriots after you got drafted. And it just made me think, I'm curious, like, where did your love of football begin? What was the kind of the genesis of your desire to play football?
Yeah, I mean, my dad introduced me to the game when I was, you know, a little boy. When he came out of the room at the hospital holding me, he was holding me like a football. it's something that's always, you know, ran through my family. I've loved it, you know, ever since I was a little kid and was able to understand it. And it's just something that's gave me and my family a lot of great memories. And I'm just super excited for the next step.
So, Will, it's no secret or surprise to anyone that New England established itself as the gold standard of the NFL this century with 6 Super Bowl wins over 19 years with Tom Brady and Bill Belichick, but it's also no surprise that the team has struggled the last couple of years. So what made you want to come to New England so badly, so much so that you told Executive Vice President of Player Personnel Elliot Wolf way back in the 2024 season that New England was where you wanted to end up?
Yeah, I mean, I just wanted to play for a franchise with the history that of this one. Playing for Coach Vrabel was something that, you know, I wanted to do. I wanted a fan base that, you know, truly is passionate about this team, just like the one I'm used to. I think, you know, this team is something that I was looking forward to joining because I know what we can be. I know that we had the pieces to, you know, be a successful football team. I'm super excited to, you know, play for Coach Vrabel. He's my type of guy. And I'm just, you know, really looking forward to, you know, this football season.
It seems like, Will Campbell, you have natural leadership ability. What is that? What is your leadership style? And what do you think some of the challenges are of being a young rookie player on an NFL team, but also asserting yourself and taking on a leadership role in a professional locker room?
Well, I couldn't really tell you, the challenges yet, because I hadn't really been faced with them yet to be in the locker room with these guys and things like that. But, I think, the biggest thing for me is, come in every day, be the best version of myself every day, be the best teammate, the best player, and the best person that I can be every single day in between this building, out there on that field. And, everything else will take care of itself.
Will, I being a former player, I got to admit, I loved your response to how you feel like what your job is in protecting Drake May. Just making sure you have his back. And I'm curious, just your thoughts on Drake. If you watched him in college and you watched him in the pros, what are some of the attributes and things that you noticed when you watch Drake May?
Yeah, he's a heck of a player. It's no secret. I've been very fortunate to, block for some pretty dang good quarterbacks in my time at college, with Jaden Daniels and Garrett Nussmeier, and now my first one in the NFL is Drake May. So I've been very, fortunate. I'm super excited, not only build our relationship on the field, but, off the field. And I'm just looking forward to it. He's a heck of a player. And not only me, just the rest of the O-line, we just got to put him in the best position possible to, help us win games.
All right, so Will Campbell, you're not afraid of the media and public speaking. You're not afraid of criticism or answering questions to people that, want to know things about your body, arm length, wingspan, et cetera. You're not afraid of oncoming defenders and people that want to wreck you and your quarterback. So I have to ask you, is there anything you're actually afraid of?
No, I wouldn't say that.
Fearless. I love it.
What are you looking forward to in terms of living in the Northeast? I know you talked about seafood, and maybe that's a little different down in LSU. Like, what are you looking forward to, maybe of that lifestyle change to the Northeast?
Yeah, I've just been in Louisiana my whole life, so being able to, be in a new community, experience a new culture, expand my horizons is something I'm looking forward to. This is a very passionate city, a very passionate fan base. So I'm just looking forward to, meeting everybody, everybody being able to put a face to a name with me and vice versa. And, just moving up here, getting to work. I'm excited for the snow. I don't really get to see that too much. I've seen it twice in my life, and once is in Colorado. So,
Will, I'm just Vrabel's a former teammate of mine, and I could kick his ass then. I could still kick his ass. But it sounds you guys had a workout with you last week, and got his hands into you. It sounds like you got the better of him. Anything you can share for? Did you put him on his back, bro? How did that play out though? That session.
I'm not gonna give too many details, but let's just say I got him. He had to get a new T-shirt after the workout.
Nice.
Love it.
I love that. Now, obviously, Will, there's a lot of things about this place that are gonna require a steep learning curve, from the traffic to the size of the roads, the wind, the cold, everything. If you ever need any help, this show's got you covered. But I just wanted to ask you, as your own man with a distinct personality. Yeah, definitely a football guy. Is there any one player you would say you idolized growing up, or that your game most resembles?
Yeah, I like to, take every, bits and pieces from whoever it might be, that's in the league now. But, being a kid from North Louisiana, a guy that, that I truly looked up to as a young aspiring offensive lineman was Andrew Whitworth and Cam Robinson. They did it the right way in high school, college, and in the league. They've had, a lot of success in all three of those. And, whenever you're from there, they're one of the few guys that's been able to do it at the highest level. So you look up to them and, what they've done. And they kind of set the foundation for, guys coming out of that area that play the position.
Will, before we let you go, you're well aware that media fans will be judging your career. You're the number 4 pick in the draft. There was talk of tackle and guard and arm length. So we're going to be, judging you from afar. How will you judge yourself? What is a successful rookie season and then successful first couple years of a career for Will Campbell look like?
Yeah, man, I just want to win. Winning takes care of everything else. So my biggest goal is, just come in any type of way I can and, help this team improve, be the best teammate I can be the best leader that I can be, and just put the best product on the field every Sunday, Monday, Thursday, whatever day we play on the field possible.
He is Will Campbell, number 4 overall pick, first-round pick of the Patriots. Appreciate you joining us on WEEI Afternoons, and look forward to you getting the pads on and watching you in training camp.
Yes, sir. No doubt. I'm excited. Thank y'all.
All right, bud. Thank you.
As we'll have to learn to say now, go Pats, G-E-A-U-X.
Oh, yeah.
There you
He's
go.
He's a Louisiana boy. Will Campbell's interview and all our draft coverage here on WEEI Afternoons is brought to you by our great sponsors, McFarland Energy. Upgrade your air conditioning system before the summer rush. Visit McFarlandEnergy.com. By Northeast Men's Health, the leader in men's sexual health. Get your sex life back on track. NortheastMen'sHealth.com. By Lucky Energy, the number one energy drink in Massachusetts amongst energy drinkers who like to get lucky. And by Chock Full of Nuts Coffee and McCormick Grill Mates Seasoning.
This is Jones and Keefe.
With the fourth pick in the 2025 NFL Draft, the New England Patriots select Will Campbell, tackle, LSU.
Jones and Keefe, right now on WEEI.
Happy Friday.
You ready for the newest Patriot, Keefe?
I guess.
Yes.
I guess so. Yeah.
And you guess. You're supposed to be excited.
I am. Well,
this is your guy.
I know it is my guy. It's not a defensive guy, so I'm not mad. I'm not going to stamp my foot. I'm not upset about it.
But you're not excited.
But as the weeks were going on, I was talking myself more into one of these dynamic skill guys and then trading for a tackle or maybe even getting one later in the first round. I'm not – by no means am I anti-Will Campbell. We did the whole love it or hate it thing. I actually did vote love it at that time, but it was the most like, because I don't hate it, I guess I have to vote love it.
I loved it.
Yeah, I guess. I guess I do. They need a left tackle, and you just better hope that he is a left tackle. If he's a left tackle, that removes some of the sting. The second you move him into guard, then it becomes a waste of a pick.
So, look, I voted hate it.
No, I know you. Yeah.
I would still today vote hate it. Unlike all you frauds out there.
This is shocking.
This is a joke. It's honestly a joke. We put out a show poll. We did a number of these
on
prospects.
Yeah.
Over the course of the last 2 weeks. Hate it or love it. We'll revisit the full thing at 11:45 today. But we did a series on this of all the different prospects for a reason, because we know you're frauds. We could see it coming a mile away. And so when we asked, 56% of Patriots fans hated the idea of Will Campbell at 4.
Yeah. Hated it.
That's the majority.
Just for some context.
That's the majority.
92% would have loved Abdul Carter.
Yes.
84% would have loved Travis Hunter.
Including the Jaguars.
More fans would have loved Ashton Jeanty or even Tyler Warren, who fell a little bit last night.
He did.
Okay? So, like, Campbell at best was 5th out of all these names we threw around. And now today, the Greg Hill Show did a great job with this today. They put out a show poll. Do you love or hate the pick? 85% now love it.
Love it.
I love it.
How did that happen?
They saw him in that green suit.
How did that happen?
He's on the Patriots now.
He said he'd die for Drake May, and so that's why. That was it. You guys are that easy?
He does say all the right things.
You guys have no convictions and no beliefs and no stick-to-itiveness when it comes to a take and an opinion?
Yeah.
From 56% hate to 85% love?
I'm not shocked.
I'm shocked. That swing shocks even me.
That was like 2 years ago. If you asked somebody if Matt Judon was good, what would they say?
Oh, he's the best.
And if you asked them last year, what would they think?
Guy
sucks, never was good. Yeah. Like, that's just how it goes. When they're on your team, you like them a lot more. When they're not, all of a sudden they're not as good as they were. But yeah, the Will Campbell one, he hasn't even played a game yet. He just simply got drafted, and it was like, yeah, I love the pick. It's like, do you really love the pick? It seems like, and I know Vrabel tried to, you know, spin it like, you know, he had said pre-draft that in a perfect world, you get best player on your board that also fills a need. And I had a feeling they were going to try to talk themselves into that. We'll never know. We don't know exactly. They're not going to release their big board to see what it is. But there are certain guys out there. Like, Field Yates had Will Campbell really high, probably the highest of anybody.
Because yeah, we were going Yates, through. When we talked to him, he had him 5th.
So
Jeremiah and Kuiper both had him more like 10th.
Right.
Yeah.
So he's a top 5 prospect by maybe one evaluator, and he's more like a top 10 prospect pretty unanimously, top 10 or 12 across the board, and then you take him 4th. So it does feel like a little bit of a reach. It also feels like they probably couldn't have traded down, but I'm not going to kill him for that. And the reason is, if they really did like him, don't mess around with it. Don't get cute and then have somebody snipe him at 6. So if they really like Will Campbell, and I assume that they do, if they're going to take him at number four, I think you could have done a lot worse last night.
So, you know, there's a few things I want to get into here today. Apparently they had a late meeting with Will Campbell that kind of pushed this over the goal line.
They measured him one more time.
Well, if you're still visiting with him, Jeremy Fowler had this tweet yesterday. Vrabel talked about it last night. We're going to play you some audio coming up here on Jones and Keefe. But Jeremy Fowler said their brass traveled to Louisiana in recent days to visit with Will Campbell. New England has been linked to him, blah, blah, blah. So that came out early in the day yesterday, and Vrabel was asked about it last night. And if you really have conviction and belief, you're not sitting there trying to move down, which Vrabel also said they were listening, but they didn't get a lot of calls. You're not visiting with him last second if you really have conviction and belief. And that's fine. How could you have conviction and belief in a guy with unprecedented, borderline unprecedented short arms for a tackle? Not just a left tackle, for an NFL tackle, borderline unprecedented short arms.
But he might also have unprecedented snarl. He does seem to have a bit of a snarl to him.
There's some snarl.
Yeah, you want snarl.
There's snarl. There were tears. There was a range of emotions last night.
Listen, he's hot. He's cold. You're drafted. That's a lot to take.
So here's what I want to push back on, and we can get into all your thoughts. 617-779-7937. Do you think the arm length is insignificant? This is a left tackle. You love the pick. Or are you sticking to your guns, most of you, hating the pick before the Patriots made it? We'll hear from you all day long. Again, 617-779-7937. You can interact Twitter and Instagram at Jones and Keefe. You can watch along and chat twitch.tv/BostonWEEI. Always a healthy chat going on Twitch. And you can watch on YouTube. Just subscribe to WEEI. We'll be doing a lot today. Top 5 Friday. We'll give you the top 5 players left on our boards, the Jones Big Board, the Keefe board over there. Who are the top 5 options at pick 38 tonight? Because the Pats will be back on the clock sometime in the 7 o'clock hour tonight. We'll go around the rest of the draft, some other moves that happened that are interesting. Plus, we'll get to the Friday 4-pack at 11:30. So stay tuned for all of that. But this idea that it's okay if he moves to guard.
No.
And the short arms, you never really saw the impact. I've seen a lot of people saying that today. Well, you never really saw the impact because he didn't give up a lot of sacks, which
that's
is true.
Not T-Rex.
I forgot about that one.
Yeah.
You didn't see the impact in college because he didn't give up a lot of sacks. That's not true. And I've referenced this video a bunch. It's a Shamar Stewart cut-up with Will Campbell where he never actually got to the quarterback, but he was constantly collapsing the pocket, and people trumpeted that as like a good video and a good look for Campbell going against another first-rounder, and I thought it was a terrible look for him. He allowed 18 pressures last year and also had 9 penalties, the second most in the draft. So it's not that there were no warning signs.
Right, right, right.
This is the thing. In college, they didn't rear their ugly heads, but he told us in a video the other day, LSU wasn't sure he was a tackle. LSU, when he came in, wasn't sure he was a tackle. He told us the other day when he got to Green Bay, teams are looking at me as a guard. And on top of that, it's like, okay, well, you allowed a bunch of pressures and you had a bunch of penalties in college. Will those things turn into sacks? And will you have to move inside in the NFL because players are bigger, stronger, faster? That is the fear with him.
Yeah, if he's a guard, it's a horrible pick. Like, I thought drafting Cole Strange late in the first round was a horrible pick as a guard. Logan Mankins was a little bit different because a lot of people will throw Logan Mankins at you and be like, well, he was a first-round pick. He was the last pick of the first round for a team that had won 3 Super Bowls in 4 years or whatever. Like, the team was a wagon. They needed that guy. Even then, it seemed like a slight reach. You were like, really, that's what you're doing? And then he was awesome. So I'll give you that. He was awesome. And you know, Quentin Nelson's great, but look at most of the Pro Bowl guards. Look at the all-pro guards. You can find them elsewhere. In fact, the last time the Patriots had 2 stud guards was Joe Tooney and Shaq Mason, and those were day 2, day 3 draft picks. So I hate the idea of, guys, this actually isn't that bad of a pick because worst case, he's a good guard. I don't want a guard. I don't want a guard with the 4th pick
either.
In the draft when you're watching guys like, you know, Ashton Jeanty and Tyler Warren, et cetera, get drafted after him. So if he is a good starting left tackle, then it is a win. And that's what you got to be banking on. Every team that took a player in the top 10 is saying, all right, this guy is going to be an all pro someday. That's at least what you're going to be hoping for in the top 10. And it better be at left tackle. And if he struggles early and they immediately kick him inside, that's a horrible sign because that means the whole time that's what they were thinking. If he struggles early on at left tackle, but they work with them and they keep them at left tackle, that to me would make me feel a lot better.
So a bunch of texts already rolling in. 617-779-7937. Guys, his arms are not that much shorter than Matt Light. Light was pretty good, right? Well, Light was a second-round pick because people thought he might have to bump into guard. He didn't have to, but he wasn't the fourth overall pick. We also get these. Oh, Dante Scarnecchia says our measurement doesn't matter, blah, blah, blah. Doesn't he know more about you or know more than you about coaching the offensive line? Well, of course he does. The Patriots also thought Isaiah Wynn was a left tackle.
Yeah, and not, I mean, Dante's the great. Dante's the GOAT, but Dante, by all accounts, picked Isaiah Wynn.
So,
no,
like,
he is, but you know, there were people miss. There Isaiah the same, Wynn's horrible.
Okay, I'm just saying, they thought Isaiah Wynn was going to be fine. Isaiah Wynn sucked, and that was a pick in the 20s, and there were the same questions about his arm length, and would he be a guard, and would he have to kick inside? So, sometimes, you know, even the best at it, Scarnecchia, are wrong, and I have a specific example for you with a player with similar questions. And so Dante can brush off arm length all he wants. You know, Matt Light, Logan Mankins. Logan Mankins had to play guard. He was a college tackle who
and
had to play
Matt
guard.
Matt Light's wingspan to play this game, I think, was 80 inches.
Okay.
And Will Campbell's was 77 and 3/8.
Okay. So, like, that's not even close.
So Matt Light is on the small end and is still whatever it is bigger than Will Campbell.
And he
so
was
no.
picked. And he was pick 50 or whatever. I'm way more willing to take the round there, the roll of the dice there than at pick 4.
Yeah, if you took Matt Light at 4 overall, people would have been like, what on earth is happening right now? But so, yeah, I think what you have to kind of bank on, and if you're going to sell yourself on it, you can't ignore all these numbers. But you got to say, could he be the guy to sort of change that talk? Could he be the exception of the rule?
That's
what but that's what you have to hope. I don't think you can just throw the numbers out. It's like we were saying the other day, like when you drafted Kyler Murray and you were like, he's 5'8 or whatever, you couldn't be like, it doesn't matter. You'd have to be like, well, he has to be extra special to be good, because that obviously did matter for a long time. I think the overall average height of the quarterback has probably come down a little bit, just with all these different guys, you know, playing the position, like, you know, Russell Wilson, Baker Mayfield, Drew Brees, whatever. But for Will Campbell, you can't just be like, ah, it doesn't matter. It does matter, but maybe he's going to have to be the exception of the rule.
So does he have to be a left tackle? You can jump in. 617-779-7937. Is it a misevaluation if he's not a left tackle? Vrabel was asked that directly last night. We'll get to that coming up. Are you happy with the pick either way? If you were one of those who's changed your mind from hate to love just because the guy was purely picked by your team at pick 4, we'd like to hear from you as well.
Explain yourself.
Again, 617-779-7937. Meanwhile, a couple of clips here. Vrabel was asked directly last night, is he going to be a left tackle? Here's what he said.
Mike, is he a left tackle?
Yeah, I mean, that's where he started, and he's a left tackle, and, you know, it's... that's what he's played. That's what he's, you know, done. And so he'll come in here and he'll compete to be the left tackle, just like everybody else is going to compete for their spots. That's what we're trying to create here. It is something that there's competition at every position, and that that our players believe that the best players are going to play.
Okay, so he's going to come in. He's going to compete. Yeah, he was a college and left tackle, college left tackle in the SEC. He's going to come in. He's going to compete. That's where he's going to start. You know, we'll see. A lot of people have referenced this. We brought it up at various points. I mean, number one, there were not a lot of good drafts when he was in Tennessee. How much say Vrabel had in that, we can debate. But the fact of the matter is there weren't a lot of good drafts there. And the one that probably got everybody fired in Tennessee, and, you know, Vrabel's last draft there was Peter Skoronski at pick 11 at a Northwestern, who they thought was a tackle. He wasn't a tackle. He was a guard.
Not even a very good one at that. No, that's tough.
And so Vrabel already has a bad track record with this. But they're going to have him come in. They're going to have him compete. If he's a left tackle for a year, Keith, and then has to kick inside, you started hearing this a lot. And by year two, he's a guard, but he gets you through this year, and you've upgraded your offensive line. Is that worth it in a bad draft?
No.
I don't think so either, but you hear that sometimes.
No.
We're like, oh, well, he'll play tackle for you this year, and then he'll kick in, and he'll be a Pro Bowl guard.
No, another guy that moved positions, it's a little bit apples to oranges, but when they took Devin McCourty, he was a really good corner for a year, and then they had to move him to safety. And obviously, corner is a much more valuable position than safety. They still drafted him in the 20s, though. So it was a little bit easier to be like, all right, we have to move you off of this really premium position, and then you're still going to be a really good impact player. At 4 overall, I think the question, or I think that sort of changes the equation a little bit. And also, left tackle to left guard, I mean, just look at what these guys get paid, is pretty significant. So if he does it for a year, no, I don't like that idea.
No, and I think already that's people telling you he's probably a guard and they're just trying to defend the pick.
Well, and the people that were happy about the pick, like Twitter responses yesterday, which are, you take them with a grain of salt, but a lot of them were pretty negative. The ones that did like the pick were like, you got your left tackle for the next decade. If that's true,
you made
then
a great
you're right.
Pick.
Then you're 100% right, and I would agree with you. Even if he is, even if he's Nate Solder, who would never get confused with Jonathan Ogden or Orlando Pace, but if he's Nate Solder, good. In this
good
draft,
pick.
Good pick.
Right.
You hit it.
Might not be a great pick, but it was a need. It was a bad draft. If you get, I agree with you.
Yeah.
If you get Nate Solder, he's a starter for 10 years. He's probably not a Pro Bowler, but he's right. a good, solid left tackle. Then this is a good pick. If he has to kick inside the guard, even if he's a high-level guard.
No, I don't want that.
Then that's a problem for me. One thing I do like, and I'll give Will Campbell this, and I wonder if the Patriots, I'm going to say, fell for it, quote-unquote. That makes it sound like he's, you know, duping them or something. But I wonder if the Patriots fell in love with his attitude, the way he carries himself, and the idea of Will Campbell more so than the actual prospect. But here's what Will Campbell had to say about his play style.
If you were to describe your playing style to the New England fan base, how would you describe it?
Nasty. You know, I'm going to go out there and give everything I have every single play to, you know, protect my teammates, protect my quarterback, and just put the, you know, the Patriots in the best position possible to, you know, help win games on Sundays.
Okay.
No, he says all the right stuff.
That I like. I like him saying it's BS that my arms are short. Like, he should believe it's BS.
Right.
So I do like the way he carries himself. I like the edge. How's your play style?
Nasty.
It's nasty.
Nasty. It's so nasty.
We're saving that as a drop.
It's so nasty.
Miss Jackson, if you're nasty.
It's nasty.
So I do like that.
Oh, I love Mr. Nasty. Sign me up. No, he said
you were a fan of the Nasty Boys. That was you were a fan.
Love
of the Nasty Boys.
Yeah,
who wasn't?
But he had a lot of good comments. Remember, he was like, you know, you give up one sack a game, then like you're not going to be in the pros. You get one sack a game, you're a first round pick. Like he had these
he's
good.
Like, you give up one sack a game, you're working at Amazon.
Right. But you get one sack a game, and now you're like a top 10 pick. So
So I
he's
like
had great quotes
too.
All
like
along,
that.
But like those quotes aren't
nasty.
Hey, nasty. They're not as cool if you're a guard.
No.
Because you know what? I remember. Did Cole Strange, either he had something when he got drafted. It was like he doesn't wear gloves or sleeves or like whatever. Remember, there was some cool thing about him, too.
Like tape his fingers
okay.
or whatever.
I don't remember, but I'm sure there was something stupid
it was
like
something
that.
Like that that we all talked ourselves into. We're like, oh, this guy. But even then, I was like, I don't know about a guard from Chattanooga, but whatever. Like, so you could say all the right things, but as soon as you get bullied by somebody in the NFL or the team makes the adjustment that you have to play guard now, like, well, then that changes everything. No, these quotes aren't nearly as exciting.
Yeah. Look, now, how do I feel about the draft pick in a word?
Nasty.
I mean, it's not my,
no, come on.
It's not my favorite
don't
draft
use his
pick.
Own words against him.
It's not my. Should we change it from hate it or love it to
nasty?
Nasty, not nasty.
The nasty scale.
So it was not my favorite pick personally. You were always kind of on board with it, Keith.
I am.
But you're not in love with it.
No, I know. I was starting to talk myself into some of the other guys that were in the draft. As the text line points out, size doesn't matter if you're nasty.
Nasty.
I mean, I do like that.
You got to make up for it somehow.
It's not all negatives with him. There are some check marks there. I mean,
he's pretty nasty.
When it comes down to it, he's nasty. So
is that a top tier drop or a bottom tier drop?
Good point. That's absolutely a tier drop.
Both. Yeah. Really confusing for Tier Tuesday. It's the top tier and the bottom tier.
And it's just only two tiers.
Yeah.
I like it.
Nasty.
617-779-7937. Will Campbell, your newest Patriot. What do you think? How do you feel about it? Do you love it or do you hate it? A good show poll today by the Greg Hill Show. Most of you, shockingly, now the Patriots have actually drafted Will Campbell, have talked yourselves into it. We have more thoughts on, his lack of arm length, his lack of reach. We'll get into Mike Vrabel and whether or not he's done enough to fix these roster issues. Plus, we got a Friday four-pack of questions for you at 11:30. It's a top five Friday. We'll give you our top five remaining choices on the board for the Patriots at pick number 38 and all your phone calls right after trending with Bridget.
With the fourth pick in the 2025 NFL Draft, the New England Patriots select Will Campbell, and you can talk about that all day long here on Boston Sports Original, WEEI. We are minus Courtney this morning. She was talking yesterday about the bachelorette party that she is at in Palm Beach, Florida, so I'm sure you'll be able to get an update or two
on her social media over the weekend, if you want to keep track of Courtney.
Quick note, Shime and I will be hosting tomorrow, 9 to 11. Ken heading down to Breakers. He's one of the nude bartenders that they've hired.
Excellent, excellent. I enjoy on Saturdays when I am doing my errands or perhaps traveling, listening to the Ken and Curtis show. Yep. And sometimes I even call. I'm not greeted with the same respect that I am perhaps greeted with when I call other shows, but that's a you and Ken thing. I don't know.
Well, he runs the ship. I just am there for.
I don't know what that's all about. 1 week from today, we will be in Springfield, Massachusetts for Roadshow number one. Curtis, I am told by some in the weather business that next week it's all 70s. Is that correct?
Could be touching 80, and we're not going to be below 7:30 for a sunset for a very long time.
Okay,
so looking like summer's arriving.
This weekend, not so great, like in the 50s, but seems like we're done with that, and we're launching full summer starting on Monday. So we will be at Max's Swing Lounge 1 week from today, Roadshow number one. Some of you lushes who listen to this program demanded a breakfast beverage be available, and so we have moved over to Max's.
We called an eye-opener.
We cannot wait to see you. Night before pregame, we will be at MGM at the Tap Sports Bar, and we'd love to hang out with you. I don't know if it'll time – probably won't time out Celtics-wise because – I would imagine, I don't want to jinx anything, but should they sweep, we won't time out with a Celtics game, I don't think, next Thursday night. Although, the way the NBA does the schedule, they will probably play tonight, and then game four will be Thursday.
We'll probably June 2nd.
Yeah. At least we'll get good playoff basketball, though, so 100%. We'll be able to watch something.
100%. And we got Leeds coming up shortly. This is Darren from my adopted home continent of Maine. Good morning, Darren.
Good morning, Greg. How are you?
What's up?
Not much. I just had a quick, brief question for all of you guys. Appreciate the time. Would you guys have given up what Jacksonville gave up to move up to number two to take Abdul Carter?
We talked about what they gave up at the start of the show. I would assume that Wiggy may have done that because he loved the player.
Yeah, I would have, and I'm aggressive with it because if I can potentially get a generational edge rusher that changes the tone of your defense, look what Philly was able to do in the Super Bowl because you can get pressure on the quarterback. I would have. You know, I would have did the trade for A.J. Brown, but I don't know how long I would be in the NFL. Maybe it'd be similar to my Brockton coaching career. I would be very aggressive when it came to trading.
By the way, Curtis, you brought him up earlier briefly during the weather report when acknowledging Drake May and his social media. Swing and a miss on Tom Brady not being in the war room last night.
Yeah.
Like, for pure NFL nostalgia marketing purposes, unless Pete Carroll didn't want him in there.
Right. Also, smart managing. Delegate the draft room, because if it fails, nobody can put it on your lap.
Right. That's a good one right there.
Yeah. And maybe Pete Carroll wanted it to be his.
Maybe.
You know.
Yeah, I expected to see Tom Brady there.
Yeah.
What they should have done is had Tom ready to go after 7 p.m. when Pete Carroll was sleeping.
Did you see Bill made a comment about Will Campbell?
No.
He said too old.
he's looking for a rim shot, Shime.
God.
Hello?
What? Oh, gosh.
Shime, what are you furiously working on over there?
The news.
Oh, okay. All right. We appreciate that.
Thank you're welcome. Very yeah. Good. Just
I
should let Jackson do the news.
I was watching the draft on television last night, so I didn't catch any of the draft program here at WEEI. How'd it go?
It went great. It was a lot of fun. Myself, Arcand, Mego, Fitzy, we had a good time. Nobody was really thrilled with the pick at number four.
Yeah, nice.
But overall,
like
mostly
disappointment, right?
Yes, I would say the majority of the disappointment probably came from me. So I might have been the wet blanket there. But I think Arcand was very much on Curtis's side of the street, where you needed a left tackle, you took the consensus best left tackle on the board. Mm. Like, can you really fault them for it? But I just did not love the pick.
I cannot wait to get to my lead.
Really?
Just based off of what something Chime just said.
Okay. All right. Let me get Randy from Providence. I'll give you another minute to properly compose your lead, Wiggy.
Right.
This is Randy from Providence, Rhode Island. Randy, roadshow.
Good morning.
We have a roadshow in Newport. this summer. Will you join us at the Roadshow in Newport?
You know what? I try to stay in Providence personally.
Oh, okay. That's fine. Maybe otherwise,
otherwise I'd be happy to. I'm not a
you're not a travel guy. You don't like to go anywhere.
Same.
Yeah, I'm very at home here in Providence, okay. And I like to stick around here.
I'm fine with that. I'm okay with that. That's fine. I'll come to you after. I'll come to you after the road show.
I hope you guys have a great time down there, though.
Thank you. Your thoughts this morning.
Well, I'm very happy. I don't know if you guys remember, I called and we spoke yesterday morning about the concept of the left tackle versus the running back.
Yeah.
And I think Will Campbell, I don't know if you guys saw the clips. There was clips from like inside the war room with Wolf and Vrabel, yeah. And then Kraft on the phone with Campbell. And Vrabel was like, said to him, quote, "You're about everything that we are." And that's what he was always looking for this offseason, was personality fits, building a culture, setting that up. I do think that you guys keep talking about wanting the running back and so forth. And look, we've got so much information in the NFL in recent years that show that running back success is kind of dictated by the offensive line in front of it. And the one guy there likes to use Saquon Barkley as the example. Oh, he came to Philly and he was the reason and all that. Well, sure, but Philly was also the reason that Saquon was so good. If you look at his stats, the last few years in New York, behind that porous offensive line, he struggled at 3.9 yards per carry in 23, 4.4 in 22, 3.7 in 21. When he got to Philly behind that offensive line, 5.8 yards per carry.
Yeah.
Okay, its offensive line helps lay the, you know, literally pave the way for running back success.
Yeah,
but I think, you know,
there may be a lot of New England Patriots fans who, like you, are very happy with this selection. And to be clear, when you say you guys wanted the running back, it's not everybody. It's mm-hmm. me. Wiggy wanted the tight end.
Yep.
And Curtis is fine, I think, with his pick.
I'm fine with where they were after being in the fourth spot. This is the pick that made the most sense.
So when it comes to whining, it's really just me.
Right.
Shine, where were you at? I can't remember.
I think Sean was with the running back as well.
Yeah, I would have loved Genty. I would have loved Tet McMillan. Hell, I would have even been interested in a guy like Jalen Walker. The offensive linemen at this spot weren't worth it.
Basically, like the two ball guys in the room, wanted Genty. And everybody else, Curtis is fine, and Wiggy wanted a tight end.
Yeah, I would have took Genty. I would have been happy. Like, I would have went traded down and went Tyler Warren. I would have picked up some extra draft picks. But if they would have took Genty at number four, I would be coming in here today with a smile on my face like, okay, I'm all for it. I am happy.
Is there anything they could do today that'll shift your opinion?
No, because, all right, so now you're going to be sitting there with your top of the second round, and I seen Luther Burden play. They played UMass last year, and I seen him as a talented player, but I just feel like what Tyler Warren and even Ashton Genty would have gave you just, and it's all projection, right? But their level of where they could go is much higher than where I see Will Campbell. And you could have got a left tackle in the second round. And I'd have been like, Genty, left tackle? Cool.
It's just Gerard Mayo effed you at the drive-in. They always, the drive-through, however the expression is.
Yeah.
He just screwed the pooch.
Well, you could say Kraft screwed the pooch by allowing him to coach that final game.
Whoever you want to blame, but you're so close. You were so close last night.
Yeah. And then you would have had your pick of whether you want a Travis Hunter or Abdul Carter.
Yeah. All right. Well, we should probably take a quick break, stay on the clock, and we will get to our leads, including one from Jackson.
Will he call the police because the leads are late?
I think I asked him earlier if he could call the police on the Will Campbell pick, but he said Denham is not answering. They identified his number.
Oh, blocked
and the
it.
Denham police are not. They have him blocked.
Suspicious. Right,
so we will get to leads next.
AUDACY. Type that into your app search, then download Jones and Keefe
on WEEI.
Final day, hate it or love it. We have the final numbers on Armon Membu, who the Patriots did not select. Fans would have preferred Will Campbell, as the results tell us here today. But basically, we did this series for exactly what came to fruition. Can you pull up the Greg Hill Show poll numbers, Keith?
Of course.
I'm just finalizing the Membu vote goes final in 1 minute. It's going to be about 75% hate that pick. But basically, we did this just to see where the fan base was at on all these players. So, for instance, the player that Patriots fans wanted the most out of the nine we threw out there was Abdul Carter. 92% would have loved Abdul Carter at pick four. He didn't fall there. So you would have loved it. Patriots couldn't have done it unless you wanted them to move up. So fine. The second player they would have loved the most, Travis Hunter, 84% would have loved. But they would have had to move up to two, just like the Jaguars eventually did last night. Maybe you think that's worth it. Maybe not. We can revisit. There were two players Patriots fans would have preferred to Will Campbell, who when we asked them back on April 16th, 56% hated the idea of Will Campbell at four.
Right.
They would have preferred Jenty, and they would have preferred Tyler Warren. Slightly less hate. It was skewed on the wrong side of 50%.
Right.
49% love for Jenty, 46% love for Tyler Warren, and then Will Campbell. And then the results today, I just saw them flash on Twitch real quick. Twitch.tv/BostonWEI. What is it?
As of right now, and you can still vote at The Greg Hill Show. 83% of the votes love the Will Campbell pick.
Now, I think we're convincing some people.
I loved it.
That number has dropped a little bit.
Has it?
That number, it was like 86% when we showed up to work today. So I think we're doing
overnight.
We're doing,
people loved it.
Yeoman's work, chipping it away down to 83%.
They loved it.
So people were still asleep, and then the haters woke back up.
There you go.
And they started voting again.
Now, in fairness,
the haters slept in.
They slept in.
That was a Greg Hill Show poll.
Yeah.
So it's different audiences. Maybe it's a tainted sample here,
true,
Keith.
Although Wiggy was very anti-drafting an offensive lineman at all. So if there, Wiggy, so there were part of that show, and Shime obviously wasn't wild about it.
That's kind of an evergreen take for Wiggy. He thinks you should not really draft offensive linemen ever.
Ever draft tight ends.
In any draft.
Tight ends. Because they do everything.
Yeah.
They block, they catch, they can throw.
They're offensive linemen who also catch is basically what a tight end is.
Wide receivers who block.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is quite a switch, but I'm not surprised. It's also why we even did the exercise.
Yeah.
Because we kind of knew it was going to be something like that.
You thought it would go from 56% hate to 83% love?
Yeah.
Okay, I did.
I mean, maybe not the specific numbers, but I thought there would be a massive spike.
I didn't think it would be that much. I expected more. I expected more out of Patriots.
People
fans
love it. Because also, I think part of it is the hope of Carter or Hunter. And that was proven out by those polls, too, and those numbers, and how much people really liked those players. And once they weren't, it's not like you drafted Campbell ahead of one of those two. Then I think the hate number would have been a lot higher. But the only two players that people really, really, really liked weren't even there. So then at that point, you're like, okay, I guess. And that's why when we did it, I said, love Will Campbell. And the reason why I said love Will Campbell is like, I said, I don't think they're going to pass up on Carter or Hunter. And if they do, I have the right to, change my mind and then really, really hate it. But if, the consensus top three were off the board, I'll take it.
The one player I wish we asked about in retrospect was Banks. He was a late riser.
Oh, yeah.
He wound up going in the top, where'd he go, nine to the Saints, I believe?
Yeah, but we did have Membu on there, right?
No, we did.
And nobody wants him.
Fans prefer Campbell to Membu. Yeah. 75%, poll just won final from yesterday, 75% hate for Membu.
But
so they do prefer Campbell to him.
This season and the next two seasons, the four players to watch as we kind of compare them to Campbell are two linemen, the two next linemen that went, and then Jenty and Warren. And sort of see like what kind of careers, or early careers that those guys have, and we'll say, all right, was this the right pick or not?
Meanwhile, I like this text, 617-779-7937. Guys, I've been hearing almost daily for 2 years. Well, some of that wasn't Keith and I.
No, can't blame us.
But almost for 2 years about how the Patriots need a tackle, and they finally take a good one, and New England fans bitch. Only in New England, LOL. But that's the crux of the whole thing. If they got a no-brainer tackle, I don't think people would be bitching.
No, that you got to wait and see. I'm hopeful that he's a good left tackle, but there's a big debate on whether or not he's even a tackle, let alone a good one.
Right. So let's say he is, you brought this up earlier, I think it's the perfect analogy. Let's say he's Nate Solder. That is a good, not great left tackle. Did Solder ever make a Pro Bowl?
I don't think so,
but he was a
pretty consistent starter and then got a payday with the Giants.
And Solder, physically is a much different frame than Will Campbell. But let's say he has that type of career where he is a high-level tackle, maybe not a Pro Bowler, but a high-level tackle for his career. That's a good pick. And we'll all say that's a good pick, and we'll say, you know what? We didn't think he was a tackle. Turns out he was a tackle. We were wrong.
Yep.
But what people are pushing back on is that he might not be a good tackle. He might be a guard. And if he's a guard, that changes the equation massively because you still need a left tackle.
Yes, 7 years with the Patriots, 3 years with the Giants, had 143 career starts, no Pro Bowls, a couple Super Bowls, but a consistent throw him out there starting left tackle, not a liability.
Yeah, that wouldn't be a bust of a pick at four.
Especially now, in the 2025 draft.
Right, we might look at it and be like, I wish they took Genty. Maybe Membu's better. Like, we may look at it and say there was a better player taken after.
Yeah, yeah.
But that would not, if he has a Nate Solder level of career, it's not a bust. It would be a good, solid pick.
Yeah, it's almost like Ty Warren, for example. Like, when the Patriots drafted Ty Warren, he's not as good as Richard Seymour, who's in the Hall of Fame, or Vince Wilfork, who is, like, just outside the Hall of Fame.
Team Hall of Famer type.
Yeah, but you're like, good. Like, he was good. He was good on those teams, and he helped you. And you're not really – you're not going through the draft and be like, all right, who was picked after Ty Warren? Like, yeah, there was probably guys better than him, but, like, that was a good pick. Like, you felt good about that. And that's why in the early going of the Belichick era, it was his first rounders hit, and, like, that counts. And so this is the first one – in the Mike Vrabel era. So this is a pretty big one.
617-779-7937. You can jump in line. A lot of you waiting patiently, I promise. We'll get to you coming up, and we'll reset some of our leadoff thoughts on Will Campbell as the number four pick to the New England Patriots. We have thoughts on who we want the Pats to take at pick 38 tonight. Moving forward, all that comes your way next.
To get another reaction, we go to the phone lines now to our friend Mike Giardi, Boston Sports Journal, which means, Mike, I'm just going to ask you a simple question. And if I don't like the answer, we might hang up on you. What was your reaction to the Will Campbell pick?
I mean, I expected it. I totally expected it. It wasn't like this caught us by surprise. I'll just say I don't love it.
Thank you, Mike Giardi.
No, well, this
seriously,
is...
Seriously, I'm not kidding.
No, people are having a hard time with this. Like, they think that I'm like assailing Will Campbell's a football player. I'm not. I think he's a good player. I think he's going to end up being a guard. I think history tells you he's going to end up being a guard. There's no one in the history of the sport, going back whatever, as far as mock draftable goes, 1995, with the hand size, wingspan, arm length, that's made a Pro Bowl or an All-Pro team at tackle with the measurables that Will Campbell has. So you're saying, basically, if you think Will Campbell can be that kind of player, that he's going to be a one-of-one. I generally don't bet on one-of-ones. Like, that's a risky proposition. He could still be a really good guard and be a good football player for you. He's one of your best five already. Perfect, wonderful. But, like, let's be realistic about what the draft was and what they ended up having to do because of holes that they couldn't fill for years.
Hey, Mike, what are your thoughts on – the workout Mike Vrabel had with Will Campbell last week? I mean, it felt like it was a foregone conclusion that Will Campbell was their guy. But, reportedly, Mike Vrabel went down to Louisiana and just had a personal workout with Will Campbell. What does that mean to you? How do you view that event?
That's a good question, Ted. So, Mike has been doing this forever. It's like, people are like breaking this down like it's news to us because he's your coach, but obviously the NFL Network, I covered him. He loves to put on the blocking shield, whatever you want to call it, the pad, and he likes to get physical with guys that they're interested in the draft. He did it with Skoronski, who, you know, was their first-round pick kid last year in Tennessee. Like, he doesn't practice. Like, he likes to feel, as you say, he wants to feel their strength. He wants to know where it's coming from. He was a player in the league like you, Ted. He sort of understands, like, oh, you know, this guy hits differently, or there's a little power there that's a little different. And then I think that Will Campbell put him on his ass was probably, was probably like the cherry on top of the sundae. Like, I love everything about this guy, and he had no problem putting me on my ass. Like, I think that probably just, like, was the final the nail in the coffin of that's going to be our pick.
Yeah, it doesn't mean that you're a hypercritical negative media guy or a bad fan in my case, Mike, just because you have some questions about it. Like, I honestly wonder if some of these sort of, you know, Vrabel intangibles or character desires may have trumped their belief in his ability on the field, or that he may be a better guard than tackle. But You know, it is what it is now, so we hope that things work out for him. But I do just want to retroactively ask, the way that the board was falling, where would you have gone at four?
I mean, I was a Jalen Walker guy, and the more I talked to people, I was and was told to go back and rewatch Mykal Williams, the more I felt really good about Mykal Williams, too. Like, I think, as I said before about Walker, I think he, you know, people look at him and he has short arms as an edge guy or a linebacker, but his speed is outstanding. He's the same high character guy. Like, you talk to people about this draft and they'll tell you, like, there's four, like, unassailable guys in the first round. It's Hunter, it's Walker, it's Campbell, and it's Emeka Buka. Like, no one has a bad word to say about them. They love football. They, you know, they work with their teammates, like everything. They're everything that you want them to be. But I thought Vrabel would have a plan for a guy like Jalen Walker and that he wouldn't have to be just an edge or just a linebacker. He'd be a weapon where you line him up all over the place. And that's what I would have done. And I think what you saw, and I've saw some people write and sort of dispute this, like the way the board fell, they could have come back up and got the tackle. They could have gotten the Josh Connell if they liked them. You know, obviously they chose Campbell, and that's the decision. But, like, you can't wait. You can't wait. No, they could have. They could have waited, and they still could have got Connerly if that's what they wanted to do. Or they still could have come up and got Simmons. But they chose to take Campbell at four, and now, you know, they've got the three picks here on the second day, and we'll see what they do with that or if they're willing to move around the board at all.
Mike Giardi, Boston Sports Journal, joining us on WEEI Afternoons. So, Mike, what do you believe Will Campbell has to do or be for this to be a successful pick? I think we all agree it's not a great draft, and you filled a massive need. Does he have to be a career tackle? If he's a Pro Bowl guard, if he's a starter at guard, like what's the floor of his potential that says to you, okay, that was a fine pick?
Well, if he's a guard, then he better be Quentin Nelson or Zach Martin. Like, you can tell me what you want about the quality of the draft, but you know and I know, and this is where your scouting department and your GM and everybody gets, this is what they're, where they make their money, is you go find me the guy. Find me the guy that's going to develop into a star or has that star potential. And I think when you're picking at four, you don't pick safe. I mean, you'd like it. You'd like it to be Joe Alt, right? Like, great character, could play left tackle. You know, like, that's safe, but he's also going to be awesome.
Yep.
That wasn't this draft. So find me the guy that was going to be awesome. And that's what I would have done. So I say Campbell, if he goes to guard, then that's what he's got to be. If he stays at tackle and he's Matt Light, I mean, yeah, I guess. Like, I I would say this only because Matt Light was a second-round pick.
Yeah. Right.
Like,
yeah,
it's a totally different thing. Like, Matt Light, if he's Matt Light, he's awesome. Well, yeah, but Matt Light was pick 30, whatever, or 40 or 50 or whatever the pick was. Will Campbell pick number four. Like, the first draft that Mike Vrabel has, you know, like, let's – if it works out and from his character and his answers and everything, like – good Lord, he's awesome. Like, you know, just as a person and the kind of teammate you want. But it still comes down to, as Mike Vrabel said, good players. You got to have good players. That's the most important thing. So we'll see.
Always fun talking to Girardi about football. Yep. Love it. Love it, Mike. I'm just curious, change directions here a little bit. There were some other interesting storylines from last night, in particular, Shedeur Sanders not getting drafted. Mm-hmm. And I find that kind of the trade between the Jaguars and the Browns to be fascinating. You can, I think, make compelling arguments on both sides for why they did what they did. But what was one of your favorite storylines from last night's draft?
I think the Jags thing is really interesting because, you know, new head coach Liam Cohen, new GM 34-year-old James Gladstone, and the way Gladstone talked about Hunter after they made the pick, like, you only get very few chances for a guy who can, you know, change the way you do things and can change your team, and this is a guy, and I believe he can be that guy. But to me, it also reeked a little bit of, we're the Jacksonville Jaguars and nobody cares about us. We got nothing going on. When we had the first pick and we got Trevor Lawrence, he never became what we, you know, hasn't become what we hoped he was going to be. We hired Urban Meyer. That was a disaster. They did that draft, by the way, that year on a freaking an aircraft carrier in Jacksonville. Like, it was this big thing, and everybody was there, and it was like, oh, my God, new era, Jacksonville, this is awesome, Urban Meyer's awesome. And, you know, he didn't last a year. Trevor had a terrible year, kind of got a bounce back with Doug Peterson, but that has sort of, again, not gone in the right direction. So it's like, to me, part of this is, I don't know what you want to put, 25%, like, business. We need to sell jerseys.
they're doing renovations on the stadium, so they're going to be playing at the University of Florida or in Orlando. Like, we need people to come to the game. We need to be relevant again, and we're no one cares about us. And having Travis Hunter, if he's as good as we think he can be, that'll make people care again.
A lot of talent still on that board, Mike Giardi. I got a couple of guys I'm hoping the Patriots take. They could be. I got some on the line, some on defense, some dynamic playmakers. So with that second-round pick and those two-thirds, what would you do, my friend?
It'll be interesting to see what happens in front of them. You know, six picks into the draft, so there's some really, I think Ezeraku felt like he was going to be a first-rounder, and there's just some concerns a little bit about his overall, not enough sand in his pants. You know, he's a little light, so I think that kind of pushed him back here into the second round. Luther Burden, who could be the best receiver in this draft, or he could be someone that, you know, gets people fired.
Yep.
Because he's you know, sort of comes and goes when he wants. He'd be someone that, you know, do you want to add that type of player into your room after you added Javon last year and then the Polk thing didn't work out? Do you want to go more safe and say, like, hey, Jaden Higgins, Jalen Nolan, the two kids from Iowa State, the receivers, like, solid dudes. You know, both have the potential to be really good players in this league. Do you want to go that route? But I think those positions are open. I think because of their roster, again, they did some nice things in free agency. They still got a lot of holes. So if you told me they wanted to double up on offensive line, go for it. You want to draft a receiver? Go for it. You want to take an edge? Go for it. You want to take a defensive tackle? Do that too, because as I've talked about a few times, like, it's great that Barmore's working out, but you just, they need to have a little bit more insurance there. So I think they can go in a variety of different directions, and this should truly be best player available at 38.
Mike, we talked to Tom Curran yesterday, and some of his comments recently about Elliot Wolf have been borderline bullying, verbal bullying in the media. And he's
a strong word. Tom wouldn't do that.
He would. He has. And he basically said he wanted Elliot Wolf to stay out of the way. Basically, the general manager should manage to stay out of the way.
Just to make sure I always have water in my glass.
Right.
Here,
Last night, you know, we got the video from the Patriots war room, and there he was front and center making the phone call and then handing it over. Elliot Wolf, and just anything you took away, maybe things you've heard, sort of the process that led to this pick and the process that will lead to the picks the next 2 days, I guess the power structure in the war room.
I mean, as I've said from the day one, I think it's Mike's team. I think Mike's getting what he wants. I think it's interesting that if you look at tomorrow's media availability, we'll be speaking with Ryan Cowden.
Yep.
Yeah.
Generally, you don't get the guy behind the guy
right
in the press conferences. We get Elliot Wolf tonight. We'll get Cowden tomorrow. It just, you know, I think they're trying to appease everyone at this point. But you know and I know that eventually, unless these two guys fall in love with each other in this shotgun marriage, eventually it's going to be Mike Vrabel with Ryan Cowden and Stretch, and that's going to be your front office.
Oh, you got more time?
Yeah, you got time for another one.
Are you sure?
Let's go.
Oh my gosh. Okay, that's very exciting. Okay, do you have a thought? Like, I feel like, Mike, no one. There's starting to be some people that are starting to say now, nobody really wanted to go out and stick their neck out and say this before the draft, but Shedeur Sanders not getting drafted in their first round. Mm-hmm. Now, Stephen A., Nick Wright, people are starting to say part of what's hurting Shedeur is his dad's, you know, influence in being there, and that maybe, you know, teams do not want the Deion Sanders experience. Do you think there's some validity to that, and why do you think Shedeur Sanders didn't get drafted in the first round?
I think there is some validity to that. Like, if you're, for instance, Brian Daboll, who I know is a very confident guy, known him for a long time, but, like, I don't know, you bring in Shedeur, you don't play Shedeur to start because you have Russell and Jameis, you're 1-5, you know Deion's going to say something, he's going to say it publicly. And do you want to have that? Like, I'm trying to keep my job. I'm trying to run my football team. And now I got some guy in Colorado making comments about my backup quarterback who I need to develop and isn't ready to play. Like, yeah, I think that's definitely part of it. But I think the real big thing here is he's a third-round quarterback. And if you want to give him the quarterback bump, he's a second-round quarterback. And for whatever reason, whether it's the media machine, a lot of people didn't want to push back against Deion,
it's almost like a fear factor there. Like my kids going, you know, my two guys are going in the top three, like that whole thing. But I think the football people evaluated the quarterback and said, hey, late round two, round three, he makes sense. Round one, top five, what are you, nuts? His three biggest games last year, the three best opponents they played, were his three worst games. Year before, they weren't a good football team. You know, like, so there's good tape out there. There's some bad tape out there. He's someone, I think, the people that really dug into him, and I didn't have to because in Patriots, that wasn't a thing for them. But the people that really dug into him said, like, he needs to develop. He's a guy who needs to come in and sit for a year, maybe two. And then what's the ceiling? Because he's not an awesome athlete. He doesn't have a huge arm. He doesn't throw well off platform because he doesn't have the huge arm. He is accurate, and he's incredibly tough. The kid's toughness is off the charts. But, like, what's the ceiling on that player? He's not – you're not winning because of him. You might win with him if you build the right team around him. So, in some ways, feels a little bit like Mac Jones, you know? Like,
yeah,
different – same, you know, like, not the big arm, like, that whole thing. So, I think that's really what it came down to is, by and large, football people – you know what? If he was awesome, well, this will have to deal with Deion. He's not awesome, so they'll let it slide. And look, he could end up being a good value pick for somebody, whether it's tonight or tomorrow, if he lasts into the fourth round. But first round probably never really made sense, and it probably hurt the kid. You know, now it looks like, oh, he fell. Well,
exactly.
Maybe he was always there, and the media hype train is what caused him to feel this way.
All right, he's Mike Giardi, Boston Sports Journal. Appreciate you joining us. Enjoy the next couple days of more NFL draft action, and we'll catch up with you again next week.
Always a pleasure. Safe travels back, boys.
Thanks, to you later, buddy.
Thanks, bud.
Courtney is off today. Another flex day. She must be the leader in the veritable clubhouse when it comes to flex days.
Hands
sure
down.
Is.
I would say.
Yeah, well, she's definitely.
Know, when you're at the Breakers.
Right. You know, bachelorette party, Palm
Sit.
Beach.
Enjoy
nice.
It.
Sure, it's nice.
Yeah.
Curtis says, weather not so nice. Today will be nice, but the weekend not so nice. But then, smooth sailing in the 70s all week next week, Curtis.
Looking like an early start to the summer next week in the greater Boston area. In Springfield, which is basically Paris, we'll be there Thursday night.
Yeah, we will be in Springfield on Thursday night for the first roadshow pregame, and that is at Taps, the sports bar at MGM.
Do you know about our lodging? Where are we staying?
I'm assuming that we're staying again at the MGM.
I love that hotel.
Yeah, beautiful. Such a beautiful place.
Beautiful.
And I'm going to reach out to my man, Ken, to see if my boy from the cigar room could bring a cigar room to bring us some stogies.
Yeah.
Well, smoke some stogies.
I think we're probably going to have to find a new place for dinner.
Yes, sir.
Because you got us banned from the last place because you were talking loud.
Really?
Do you remember that?
I remember talking, but it was just like I was talking. But my wife does say I am a bit of a loud talker.
I'm sure she does.
Yeah, so that's it.
And constant, really.
But I grew up in a loud talking family household, so I think it's just
families, it's always when you're in that, it's the louder person wins. Yeah. You just keep yelling and then that's
how
it works.
This is kinda how we talk. We were all loud, so I guess maybe
I think Wiggy being at your restaurant brings in business. I think they should be saying thank you,
that's
don't
all
quiet
good.
Down.
But you know
find
what?
A spot.
The great thing about this audience is they know food. And they know adult beverages. So if you have a recommendation on where we should go to dinner Thursday night next week, then tell us. And then cannot wait for the road show, which is a week from today, and we'll be at Max's Swing Lounge. Speaking of adult beverages, you asked, we delivered. You want it to be at a place that wasn't like prohibition dry. So we will be at Max's Swing Lounge.
We're a lot funnier with the buzz on.
100%. 100%.
Think the Coxes show up for that one?
Swing Lounge.
It's such a great name, though. Max's Swing Lounge.
That's awesome.
I thought you were suggesting they were going to get a table at, like, you know, 5 a.m. and then keep it all day long.
No, because we know Courtney grew up in a swinger community. But the name is so good, Max's Swing Lounge.
Well, it's that because of golf.
I get that.
You can work on your game while you're listening to the show. No better place to do it.
Yeah, I get that.
All right.
Can we get a quick one-hole battle? It's just an appetizer.
Yes.
Absolutely.
I'll be
Sean, are you going to be there?
No, I won't be there. That's right.
Shoot.
I forgot about that. We got to just wait for the match.
Hill Notes, 920 as they always are. Leave one now on the Odyssey app on any topic. A bunch of them out there today, including the Will Campbell pick and the Red Sox loss and Celtics game three and Joe Mazzulla's comments doubling down on needing to push Jason Tatum. And so you can leave a Hill note on any topic. Whenever the spirit moves you, just leave a voice note and we'll play the best ones back coming up at 9:20.
It's time for
Larry Bird's not walking through that door, fans.
Would not say that I'm Mona Lisa Vito of the football world.
They want you to cook the dinner. At least they ought to let you shop for some of the groceries.
Said it.
Wake up the dumb bambino and have me face him. Maybe I'll drill him in the eye.
They said it.
I'm just going to say it.
They said it, brought to you by Ketch's Law. And if you know somebody who built this city, whether it was the Zakim Bridge or Fenway Park or hospital or your favorite downtown building or somebody who has helped make Boston what Boston is, then Ketch's would like to honor them. They are honoring those who built this city. Please nominate your friend, your brother, your sister, your mom, your dad, your grandpa, whoever it is, when you go to WeBuiltThisCity.com. And they could win $1,000 cash, tickets to a baseball game, be on a billboard, etc. So WeBuiltThisCity.com. Shine, where do you want to start?
Well, Greg, I think it's imperative we begin with head coach Mike Vrabel. After making the selection of Will Campbell at fourth overall, he had a bit of a press conference down at the Patriots facility. And he was specifically asked, is Will Campbell a left tackle? Here was Mike Vrabel.
Is he a left tackle?
Yeah, I mean, that's where he started, and he's a left tackle, and, you know, that's what he's played, that's what he's, you know, done, and so he'll come in here and he'll compete to be the left tackle just like everybody else is going to compete for their spots. That's what we're trying to create here, is something that there's competition at every position and that our players believe that the best players are going to play.
Well, that's good to know. At least we know he's going to be the left tackle. He'll compete, and now we'll be all eyes on him. Please don't give up too many sacks, because if they do, and like Genty's balling or my guy Tyler Warren is balling, we're going to be Mike, what you do here, bro?
And the left tackle is not a spot where you can really be hidden.
Nope.
You're kind of on an island. We'll know pretty early on if you're getting trouble.
I mean, you play. I heard Vrabel say, Shime, you know better than me, but played 38 out of 40 games SEC-wise. I mean, he's a... you know, if you're drafting at that position, he's a good get.
Yeah, look, I don't love Campbell. I think Vrabel is really leaning into those culture and attitude guys, and Campbell definitely fits that mold. Like, he's nasty, but he's team first. He's going to, if Drake May gets knocked down late in a play, Will Campbell's going to go punch somebody.
Well,
like, that's the kind of guy he is.
Like, even if you don't like the pick, like me, I think there's one good thing about it, and that is that we now know definitively, without a doubt, who is firmly in charge of the operation over there.
Yeah.
Because you had one guy who, when they allowed him to speak, dramatically told you that they weren't going to draft for need anymore.
Right.
And then
what they
the other guy said, yeah, no, we're drafting for need.
Right.
So did they even let Elliot talk on the phone with him? Or,
I don't think so.
I'm aware of.
Okay. He doesn't. Does he get to dial the cell phone?
Oh, no. I bet he called Green Bay to tell somebody to put the slip in. Yeah. That's what he got to do.
He's that guy.
I mean, honestly, at this point, why? If you're Elliot Wolf, why are you even here?
I don't know.
I don't know.
You're getting a paycheck.
Yeah,
but why would you? Like, they let you speak. Nice thing to do. Why would you dramatically declare that you're not going to draft for need when. Did he think he was going to overrule Mike Vrabel?
Well, Schrager tells us he lies, so maybe he was just lying.
I mean, it's so
bizarre.
No,
I told you.
Like,
I think
it's
he's...
like, hold on. Oh, yay. We are no longer drafting for need. Okay.
Oh, yay.
I told you.
But every team in the NFL, like every team, on some level drafts for need.
Mm-hmm.
Like, to say that, like, even that comment from him was stupid.
Yeah.
Like, because...
Everybody needs a position,
right.
And usually when you draft that guy, you needed that position.
And if you're drafting the top five, odds are the person you're drafting is a better prospect than the guy you currently right. have at that position.
I told you, I think it's like, you know.
Fall guy?
No, it's Robert and. You know how when I told you somebody marries somebody and then they're like the husband owns the company and the wife goes, hey, listen, is there any way you can get my cousin a job there?
Yeah,
throw a placard on his door, make him seem like he's doing something, but just do it for me. And the guy goes, all right, I don't want to hear my wife. So, yeah, I'm going to hire your cousin who I know can't do the job.
But, Greg, you lived this here. We had a program director at WEEI. You came over from WAAF and upstairs Joe was born.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, you had a guy. Yeah. We had a guy. Yeah. It was part of the new process. And, you know, that's what happens in life.
Well, I'll tell you what. My guy is Ken Laird. Well, I mean, really. Honestly.
I mean, I can't see where you end and he begins.
All right. We can hear from Will Campbell. I will say a lot of text messages this morning on the Subaru of New England text line suggesting that Will Campbell won them over when speaking last night. Personality, character-wise, or whatever. So we have some Will Campbell.
Yeah.
Right?
So we talked a lot about the fits of some of the players last night. Will Campbell got asked about his fit. Here's what he had to say.
Break down the fit for us, real quick.
Yeah. I just got on some Louis V shoes. It's the first time I've ever worn any Louis Vuitton shoes. I'm more of a boots jeans guy. green suit. That's really just simple. I saw this. I like that. You know, the Rolex probably stand out the most. Try to keep it simple.
But, you know, he was, I assume it's real, like Curtis this morning during his lead, he was emotional and he's excited to be a Patriot.
Oh, so, he's excited just to, you know, that and to get drafted is like
he talked a lot about Mike Vrabel and Mike Vrabel being a football guy. And, you know, I think there's clear, he said when he walked in the building, he was the very first time he was impressed by what they got going here. So
the one thing that the hair across his ass reminds me a bit of Logan Mankins, a guy that was a 32nd pick, also a first rounder, but the end out of Fresno State,
right,
who was viewed as a reach by Bill at that time. And he was one of the best. I mean, Dante Scarnecchia to this day says it's the best lineman he's ever coached.
And that goes back. And that goes back to my point. It is. Logan Mankins, unbelievable career. Would you rather have him or Gronk?
Oh, Gronk.
And that's all I'm saying, and that's why I go back to.
But I mean, but if this guy's Gronk, that means he's the best tight end in NFL history.
No, well, but that's why when I'm picking at number four, that's my expectations of said player.
Right. But you see what I'm saying? Wiggy, the argument that people use, and they've been using it all morning against me because I wanted them to take Ashton Jeanty, is that you don't know how long you're going to have that player for. You can end up with a flash in the pan kind of situation.
Mm-hmm.
This guy is a foundational player, and you got to get the foundation set before you start changing the drapes or adding the deck or addressing the landscaping or whatever. So,
but even if you get Jeanty for 8 years to be like Christian McCaffrey, would you take McCaffrey or Mankins?
But here, I would take Mankins
with
over
a
McCaffrey.
New quarterback, though, can you argue that Drake May really you need the opportunity for him to be able to shine, and that the offensive line has been, you know, drudge for the last 3 years.
Right, but I feel like I could get some good offensive linemen in the second round that would still be able to come in.
Wiggy, there's no running back that has 8 years of a shelf life in the NFL. Nobody. I mean, those careers are 4 years or if you get 4 years out of a great
Saquon, running back. Saquon, Derrick Henry.
Okay, so how many running backs have been drafted in the first round, and how many have careers over 4 years that are where they're elite?
I mean, Saquon's been more than 4 years elite.
That's right. I would say, well, I mean,
Zeke
like
unicorns.
Yeah, Zeke was more than 4 years. He was
I would
elite.
Say like most of them, like they can be elite, and it's going to be somewhere between like that 7-8 year period, and that's when they're going to fall off, right when they get around their 30s.
What's next, Shine?
Well, Greg, you asked if Elliott Wolf even got to talk to Will Campbell. We have audio of all of what Elliott Wolf got to say to Will Campbell, courtesy of the New England Patriots. Here was the initial call when the Patriots drafted Will Campbell.
How you doing, man?
I'm doing good.
This is Cam Williams from the Patriots, man. I got Elliott Wolf right here. He's on the line. He's ready to fill you in on some things.
Yes, sir.
Congratulations, man. We're going to make you our first-round pick. You're a New England Patriot.
Man, thank you. I appreciate it.
All right, man. Here's Coach Braden.
Oh. All right.
So hold the line, please.
Yes.
The guy who picked you is actually going to be on in a moment.
Ken is so right about this. He's the one who sent that to me. Like, what? He said, what is their fascination of including him in these videos?
Yeah.
Like,
know.
Why are you trying to prop
trying him? To make him feel valuable, I guess.
Well, what? You got to always have somebody say, hey, we're going to take you in the first round. Oh, by the way, here's the head coach.
Congratulations, man. We're going to make you our first round pick. You're a New England Patriot.
Man, thank you. I appreciate it.
All right, man. Here's Coach Vrabel.
And then, you know, if Vrabel does, hey, we love you. We're glad we picked you. We expect this, that, and the other. And say, hey, I'm giving you back to Elliot Wolf. He's going to get you flight information.
He's like Santo. He packs the bags for him and drives him to the airport.
It gives him the airport itinerary.
Shrapnel.
All right, what's next?
Well, next, Greg, in the Warriors' last playoff game, Draymond Green had a bit of an incident once again. Yes. He is Draymond Green, so it tends to happen. The fans were chanting F you, Draymond, similar to what we did back when they were here for the NBA Finals.
Oh, wait. Where are the breathless stories about how that makes that city racist?
I haven't heard any of those
interesting.
Yet.
Well, God. We can hear from Steve Kerr about those chants at Draymond and Draymond's reaction.
Not ideal when a crowd is, you know, chanting F you, Draymond. It's just, I don't know. I mean, it did in Boston a few years ago in the finals. It is what it is. Draymond's—he's been around forever. You know, he's an instigator. He's always going to be in the mix, and because of his career, his championships, his fire, he's going to be a lightning rod, and that's all part of it. I would prefer, you know, if fans could use a little more discretion, and you know, remember that, you know, the guy has kids and. You know, it's like there's kids. I don't know. I just, maybe I'm old school, but I'm all for the fans cheering for their team. And if they want to yell at the opponents, great. But I don't know. I just think F you is, it's a little much.
Yes, because Draymond is a guy who's known for using discretion.
Talk
so
about
gotta
soft.
Return that to him. Yeah. Yes. I mean,
he should have went Anthony Edwards and been like, I make $200 million and my thing is bigger than yours.
I enjoyed Draymond's response, which was basically that belongs to Boston and you're stealing the Boston Celtics fans act.
Yeah. So I got no problem
with
F-U.
The children.
I have to say, I find Steve Kerr more loathsome than Draymond.
I
find him to be just
I don't agree with, like, I mean, Steve, you played in like the early 90s, right?
Right.
And I'm kind of like, the fans probably were a lot worse back then than they are now because there's a million camera phones. And then if you say something reckless, they fine you, they post you on Facebook, and then you get fired.
Yeah. All right. Well, that is They Said It. Quick back and forth on what they said yesterday. We are going to get to the news with Shyam filling in for Courtney next, and then we are going to play your Hill Notes back at 9:20 on this morning's show.
Who had a worst week? Garrett Crochet, Shedeur Sanders, or Shannon Sharp?
I think it's Shannon Sharp by a mile.
Are we getting to the Shannon situation during the news?
We are, Greg.
That is fluid.
Yeah.
Excuse the term.
Oh, God.
But, boy, I'll tell you. Dude basically may have screwed himself out of $100 million.
Well, literally.
Yeah.
Definitely. So anyway, we'll get to that. All that coming up right now, Shyam, with what is trending this hour.
The Christian Arcan Show. Weeknights starting at 6. Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now, brought to you by Shaw's and Star Market, perfecting the art of fresh. We've been talking about it all morning. The New England Patriots drafted LSU offensive lineman Will Campbell last night with the 4th pick overall in the first round of the NFL draft. They hold picks 38, 69, and 77 tonight, those in the second and third rounds.
Consensus in the room when it comes to those picks and what you must absolutely leave the draft with positionally.
Offensive weaponry for Drake.
Okay.
Gray.
Yeah.
Okay. Love that.
So tight end, wide receiver.
Yep.
That doesn't matter.
Running back.
Anybody that can make plays for you for Drake. Okay.
I know Shyam brought up both Henderson and Quinshon Judkins from Ohio State. Like, I'm with you. Like, I would love to see that as well as, you know, a younger tight end.
If they end up with Travion Henderson at pick 38 tonight, I will go full pants off. Like, I will.
So I hope they don't.
I will completely forgive.
You threatened it again yesterday with Jones and Keefe. It's a weird thing that you keep threatening to take your pants off.
Yeah, I will go full Winnie the Pooh.
All right.
Okay. And I will completely forgive the Will Campbell pick if you get Trevion Henderson at 38.
And then you post it to social media. We want to see the Winnie the Pooh on the socials.
Nobody does.
You got it.
Well, you know, he'll wear, like, you know, wrestling trunks.
Okay.
Yeah. No, you said to me yesterday that because of the draft, your pants were unbuttoned, and I noticed it was just because the button popped.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, come on. That's not nice.
I have a question for you, Greg, food-related, LSU.
Yes.
Gumbo, spectacular. Where do you land?
I'm not a fan.
What? Oh.
Not a gumbo fan.
Oh, I love
gumbo. It's the consistency.
The food takes.
Huh?
You have the weirdest food takes. Oh, gumbo is amazing.
Soup is obligated to be creamy.
It's not soup.
It's not soup.
It is soup.
It is not soup.
It was stew.
Gumbo.
What is it, stew?
It's a roux.
Do you like étouffée?
Huh?
Étouffée.
Wiggy and I don't like when you use those
weird words. What's étouffée?
It's a type of Cajun dish.
Food terms. What is it?
It's like it's a Cajun dish known in Louisiana. Like, it's very popular in Louisiana.
Yeah. So it's like beef stew. I don't eat gumbo because I don't eat seafood, but I do like beef stew.
Yeah.
But they say you can make gumbo without seafood.
Yeah, you can get that without shrimp.
Yeah, so I would probably, because I like beef stew, so I would like gumbo.
And Doobie sausage is dynamite.
Yeah.
Anyways, the big shocker of the draft last night was Jacksonville trading a haul to move up from 5-2 to draft Travis Hunter, and Shedeur Sanders dropping, just plummeting out of the first round and into the second.
That was definitely FUTE. That whole move right there.
The Seas are up 2-0 against the Magic in round one of the NBA playoffs.
Sam says a hard O.
What do you mean? Étouffée.
Étouffée.
Étouffée is what Shannon Sharp said.
Also, Wiggy has, I don't know if anybody's noticed, has slightly adjusted the laugh. And this is perfect for Hildos, but he's now going.
I'm dealing with some phlegm. Will Fleming.
That was definitely F-U-T-E.
Come on, Shine. What the hell is F-U-T-E?
Étouffée.
Étouffée. Whatever it is. Just say, like, oh, do you like Cajun beef stew?
Okay. Sorry.
Yeah, Shine.
Sorry. I'm just going to call the dish what it is. The Red Sox.
Is my voice high-pitched?
It always is on Hill Notes.
Yeah, I love the voice on Hill Notes. Hey,
something else is high. The Red Sox dropped another one to the Mariners 4-3 yesterday afternoon. Garrett Crochet got the loss, going 5 innings, giving up all 4 runs, but striking out 9 along the way. We can hear from Garrett Crochet on yesterday's Nissan Red Sox postgame show.
Yeah, I think just pitching passively. You know, I've been talking about in my past couple pressers, like getting to the glove side, and it became something where I was trying to pitch instead of just throw. You know, I'm always been a bit of a thrower, which is just who I am. You know, once I kind of started getting back to my roots and just being a power pitcher later in the game, the walks were still there, but, you know, I was at least able to get guys out.
I noticed that yesterday being at the game, you could see it. He was trying to, he wasn't just, you know, letting it fly. He was trying to aim.
Yeah.
I saw you on the social medias being denied a ball.
I did.
By
the shortstop, PJ.
J.P. Crawford.
Yeah.
So you were yelling. Did he at least look at you?
Yeah, I thought he was throwing it towards me, but he went way low. So I'm like, bro, just throw it up here.
I saw you try to steal it from an 8-year-old kid who was there with his stepdad.
Well, what's an 8-year-old kid going to do with a baseball? At least I get it and I take it. I play catch with my kids.
Right.
You deserve a car that thrills you, and Nissan's got an exciting full line that'll put goosebumps on your goosebumps. Experience the thrill for yourself. Shop your local Nissan store in NissanUSA.com today. The Sox head to Cleveland to take on the Guardians tonight. First pitch, 7:10. Tanner Houck on the mound. You can listen to the broadcast right here on WEEI. Our guy Brooksy joins Cooper Boardman on the Shaw's and Star Market. WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. Shaw's perfecting the art of fresh. You can kick things off with Christian Arcand at 6:10 for the Mass Mutual pregame show. Trending Now was brought to you by Shaw's and Star Market. The 99-cent sale is back. Pick up participating items at Shaw's and Star Market for just 99 cents each or by the pound. Shaw's and Star Market, the official supermarket of the Red Sox Radio Network. That's what's trending. Here's Curtis with your weather.
Thank you, Shime. 64 degrees, rainy outside, pop-up shower. It'll be stopping with an afternoon high in the 70s.